Hey, everyone, this is Victor Shook. In Bismarck. We're just going to hang out a few more minutes. We're told Fargo is just about to connect. So we're just going to give them a few more minutes. We'll say maybe 5 minutes, and we'll try to have the connection ready to go, and we'll get started. Sorry to make everyone wait. Just confirming for everyone online, you're not watching a silent movie. We are just waiting a few more minutes to ensure the Fargo gets connected. So I did get a call from them probably about 5 minutes ago that said they maybe need 10 minutes. So I'm hoping within the next five, we'll get them connected and we'll get underway.
Never happened on UND campus.
Victor or Sherry, if you hear me, just curious what size crowds you might have at your locations.
Commissioner Crispin, this is Sherry in Minot. We have five in Minot plus a XL representative.
I think we have one person here seeking to speak this evening so far at Grand Forks.
How many here are going to speak? We have one for certain that's going to speak, and the other one is uncertain.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
In Bismarck, we have one member of the public. I don't believe they intend on speaking. We may have some more online this time, so after we are done with the Excel's presentation and going through the sites, we can check online to see if anybody would like to say something who's connected via phone to the meeting. And I am told Excel is in the building that they need to be in now. They're just getting the connection set up, so should be within a couple of minutes.
My name is Victor Schuck. He is the director of our public utilities division.
I remember Patrick Fon.
So are you guys connected there in Fargo? We can kind of hear some chatter in the background.
This is Alex in Fargo. Can you guys hear us in Bismarck, Grand Forks?
We can hear you, Alex. We don't see your screen yet, but.
Yep, that should be the last thing once we get the camera up here and running. Thank you very much for holding with us.
That's your forward facing one.
Hey, Ryan, this is Judy. I'm just working with that cell group this evening. So I'm wondering which camera you were using.
Can you see me now?
We can see and hear you.
See and hear me?
Yep.
That's great. Yeah, I think we're having trouble with the other camera, so I might just use the one on this computer.
Okay. Well, if that works for you, we'll get underway here. And if they get the other camera online, great. If not, we'll just roll with this.
That sounds great. Thank you very much for holding on here. We apologize for the delay.
Nope. We're good. Okay. So we're rolling. Everything, Matt?
Yep.
Okay. So, good evening. It is approximately 6:18 p.m., Monday, October 13th, 2025. This is a public input session in the Public Service Commission hearing room on the 12th floor of the state capitol, Bismarck, North Dakota, and we have remote locations in Minot, Grand Forks, and Fargo. Purpose of this meeting is to give the public an opportunity to provide comments on the proposed electric rate increase of Northern States Power Company. Joining remotely are Commissioner Randy Crisman in Grand Forks and Commissioner Sherry Haugen-Hoffert in Minot. Commissioner Kringstad sends her regards. She's dealing with a family medical issue, so she likely won't be joining us this evening. The rate case these comments are for today is case number PU-24-376. The commission has scheduled these public input sessions to allow everyone an opportunity to submit information or comments concerning the requested rate increase. All comments received at this public hearing will be considered by the commission together with all other written comments received. Public Service Commission will consider all of the comments received and other filings in this case, which are available on the commission's website at www.psc.nd.gov. This hearing is being broadcast over the internet. It is also being electronically recorded. We ask that anybody who would like to comment speak into the microphone so that the broadcast and recording will be of good quality. Everybody will be given an opportunity to speak, and we just ask that you identify yourself for the record before you speak and speak slowly and clearly. There should be a sign-up sheet either being passed around the room or on a table near one of the entrances. Please sign into it just so that we have a record of who has attended. So we're going to start out with opening comments. I'll start out with Commissioner Crisman in Grand Forks. Commissioner, do you have any opening comments?
So I want to welcome all the public that are either listening in or present in one of the rooms. These rate cases are complex. It's also a legal process. And so remember, just like in a court case, if you testify, that doesn't mean you get asked questions. And here, it's not really for the public to ask us questions. You basically tell us things that are your opinions or throw out things that you think need to be clarified, and then the company can clarify them ultimately when we have hearings, and we have a full week set aside for formal hearings in December. We do value your opinions, and over the course of years, there's been more than once when things that were brought to our attention by the public have proven to be useful as we dig into this very complex scenario that are these rate cases. One of the things that I think people need to be aware of, a lot of people think of whatever maybe pay raise or some kind of cost of living adjustment that is made either on other bills they pay or their own salaries or benefits, and compare it to a utility case. And the utility cases usually seem to be a higher percentage. But keep in mind, because of how complex a rate case is and the costs associated with processing them, they usually only come to the commission with a rate case every 3 or 4 years. And thus, when it does come, some of their costs have just gone up. They're justifiable costs. But what we're here for is to make sure that they're not recovering any costs that are not justifiable, that are not needed in order to provide you, the customers, with reliable and dependable power. So thank you for taking some of your time to provide us with ideas or information that might be useful as we further explore this case. We don't have a big crowd here in Grand Forks. Hopefully we got a lot of people listening, and I look forward to hearing what everybody says, whether it's one or many. Like I say, we value your opinions. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'll turn it over to Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert, whose portfolio this case falls within, for her comments, and then to turn it over to the company for their presentation.
Thank you so much. And thank you for those who are attending and those who are online. The commission has not done this in a while about going out into the communities in a rate case, and we thought it was imperative that we come to the areas where Xcel is serving customers. So we are in Grand Forks, Fargo, and here in Minot. We want to hear from you, and we hope that the engagement or those of you who are willing to stand up and speak, that you will be heard. What we're going to do, just a little bit about the format, we are going to hear from Xcel, and then it's an opportunity for us commissioners to ask some questions based on their presentation, and then we'll go to the sites. We will start here in Minot, and if you speak, we'll ask you to come up to the podium and state your full name and then do your presentation. Then we'll go to Grand Forks, followed by Fargo, and then anybody online. And then after that, we will have some closing comments. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Alex, who is in Fargo, to go through the presentation and introduce himself along with his title.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Hogan Hopeford, and thank you very much to commission and staff that's online and everybody that's in attendance from the public and everybody that's in attendance here in Fargo. As been stated, this is something new. I've been with the company for about 3 years now. This is just my second rate case that I've been involved in. The first one was natural gas, and I think it's been a while since we've done this remote locations. There's some growing pains, as evidenced by being about 20 minutes late, but I really appreciate everybody holding on. And I think it's very important to hear from the people in our communities. Vic, if you want to go to the second slide. As you see on this slide, we have service territory. We have the full list there, but Minot, Grand Forks, and Fargo. Spend a lot of time on Bismarck at the Capitol, but I think it's great to be in the communities that we serve to hear from these people. My name, I'm Alex Nesbitt. I'm a regulatory policy specialist. I work out of our Fargo Service Center. I live and work here in Fargo. So it's been great to just do such an official task that I can do here right in Fargo where I live as compared to going to Bismarck. So I like this new process. The commissioners went through a lot of other really important points. The intent for today is to get comments, input from the public. So I really want to thank everybody for being here today. Commissioner Crisman, others have alluded to the fact that we will have a full, fulsome hearing in December where we have 5 days set aside where commission staff, consultants, their experts, our internal experts will go through this rate case in great detail. But I'm very happy to have everybody here today for input. A couple of other points to point out on the slide. We serve 97,000 electric customers in North Dakota, about 65-ish thousand natural gas. We've been serving the state for 115 years. That's something that we're very proud of. On to the next slide. A couple high-level points. This rate case was filed on December 2nd of last year. The overall full ask was $44.56 million with a $22.34 for an average residential customer bill. If you've been following your bill closely, you will see an interim surcharge that would begin in February 1 of this year. That interim rate increase that shows up as an interim surcharge on your bill, that is for an interim rate increase of $27.37 million. And 11.8% overall, which equates to about $11.37 for the average residential customer. When I talk about an average residential customer today, what that equals is a typical non-electric, non-electric heating residential customer using 774 kilowatt hours. As I stated, the rates have been in effect since February 1 of this year. We have that hearing coming up in December. After the hearing, and sometimes there can be additional work, additional briefing, or maybe even work sessions after. So depending on what happens after that hearing, we would expect interim rates in early 2026 or maybe into the spring. One last thing to point out on the slide is the interim rates that are in effect, the final rate that we'll see. Sometimes it's below the interim rates. Historically, it has been. If that is the case for this matter, then our customers will receive an interim rate refund for the difference between the final rates and the interim rate that were over what we had been charging, plus interest. Next slide. On this slide, we talk about high level, what the drivers are associated with this matter. We've been investing in the last 4 years on our generation transmission distribution system in North Dakota, and also overall on our fleet, IT, things of that nature. A number that I like to point out is since the last rate case 4 years ago, we've spent approximately $460 million on capital investments just in the state of North Dakota alone. And system-wide, what we've invested in is in information technology to replace our old software to try to make our business run as effectively as possible. Fleet modernization, when we're talking about fleets, you see them every time there's an outage or something with a pull down, whether it's the boom trucks, the regular truck service vehicles, things of that nature. You want to make sure that you have a reliable fleet that can get there safely and effectively to put people's power back on as necessary. Service centers, that's a driver of this rate case. We actually have one here in North Dakota. It's a Grand Forks Service Center. If you live or visit Grand Forks, you've probably seen the construction that's going on. Very excited to have that new service center. Distribution, Larimore, there's a new Larimore substation. We're busy undergrounding cables. That was a big driver from our prior rate case. We're continuing on with that for reliability improvements. We're also reserving substations. That's something, given supply chain issues, demand to be able to have extra transformers, extra substation transformers on hand. That's always a good idea. Another driver is we're adjusting life on some of our resources, some of our coal facilities. Those are being accelerated as far as their depreciation rates and as far as other matters, we have some resources that are being extended as well. The Monticello nuclear plant that's being extended 10 years as part of this rate case. The other investments that are being made on the system are for AGIS, which stands for Advanced Grid Intelligence and Security, plus AMI meters, everything that you do with as far as your meters, smart meters, being able to communicate more effectively as a system, see where outages are, see what are happening on people's bills. Those are costs that are added into this rate case. A few other things to just point out quick. Admin and general O&M, as we all know, cost of almost everything has gone up over the last 4 years. So just our O&M, some of those expenses, whether it's insurance or just what we pay our employees, those have increased over the last 4 years. And then we have a handful of new resources, whether it's a Border Winds wind farm in North Dakota, we're repowering that, and then also other facilities and generation resources in Minnesota. We built those and they're paying rates this year in 2025. One last bullet point that I would point out on this slide is that people have heard a lot in the news lately about large loads, specifically data centers in the region. I know around the same time that this is our rate case has been picked up in the news, it's the exact same time that the Harwood data center has been happening. So it's easy for people to draw the connection between the two. But I want to first and foremost say that we're not affiliated with that project. It is in the Cass County Electric Cooperative service territory. Electricity is provided by Minkota Power Cooperative, and we have no direct affiliation with that line. And another thing to point out, in North Dakota, we don't have a data center. We don't have a data center that we serve. But I will say that as a company, we have a robust process of reviewing new large loans that could come on our system. As I've also stated, we've been serving North Dakotans in the region for 115 years, so we're not new to large loads. You always want to make sure that you're properly capturing incremental costs and that your existing customers are not subsidizing new customers that come on. So that's something that we're always going to do no matter what the load. And that would absolutely happen in this instance. But once again, the Hardwick Data Center, it's not affiliated with us, and it's for a rural cooperative that does not fall under the purview of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. Next slide, please. Few additional points to provide context. From 2019 to 2023, our average residential bills were about 28% below the national average. We're expecting that to continue. Our rate case, our interim increase that you've been seeing, if you're following your bill closely, you'll also see as of August 1 of this year, nuclear production tax credits that you're receiving as part of the fact that we have two nuclear plants, three different reactors in Minnesota. We're receiving nuclear production tax credits, refunds to our customers that amounted to about $12.5 million for 2024. So that's, I think, for an average residential customer, maybe $5 a month. So it's a little bit under half of what this interim rate increase has been, and just lower fuel costs associated with not having natural gas prices have been lower, plus also having lower coal costs with having renewables on our system. The table that you're seeing at the bottom of this page is just some additional context as far as our residential bill growth. That first line, an approximately 11-year span, saw from 2014 to 2025. That was a 2.6% increase as compared to the consumer price index during that same period of the last 11 years. We saw about 2.9%. And as we all know, the last 4 years, there's been a lot of inflation. CPI at that time for the last 4 years has been about 4.5% as compared to 3.2%, which would be the increase to a residential customer's rate if we implemented the full ask of $44.5 million. That's not interim, that's the full amount, is 3.2%. Next slide, please. My last substantive slide is to just point out the fact that as part of this case, we proposed a new customer charge revision. Customer charge is something that always shows up on somebody's bill. It's something that every customer needs, whether or not they use a very small or very large amount of electricity. And those are things like billing, metering, just those basic necessities as a customer so that a company can provide service to you. We try to set these at cost. So when we do our class cost of service study in preparation for this rate case, we strive to have residential customer charge set at cost. Therefore, when we looked at it, that would be bumped up from $15 to $21.50. Same thing with those other costs. We see no significant changes to general service, but small general service, we also saw an increase there. With that, that concludes my substantive comments. And with that, I would just like to thank everybody again and open it up for any comments from the public and the commission. Thank you.
Alex, this is Commissioner Haugen-Huffert. This at noon, we had some questions, and you clarified the questions in your presentation. But one of the things, I want to go back to large loads. You said that this rate proposal is not driven by recent large load announcement in that area. To be fair to you guys, in the Fargo Forum, there was an article that said Xcel is having a rate increase of 19%, and right below it was the data center. So is it in your opinion that stories like that are misleading,
I would never allege that the media engages in misleading activities. And that's why I'm very happy to have a public input session like this today. And it was a really good question that was asked by an individual during our noon session. And it's the electricity business, regulated electricity business in general. It's very complicated, and it's also very new and novel. And some of the loads that were coming, that are coming onto the system are large. So there's a lot of interest in it. But yes, to associate that with this rate increase, they're in no way directly affiliated. And also, just to step back from the start, that this rate case, this is a 2025 test year. We're allowed to look into the future 1 year and project what our costs are going to be. So when we were busy putting this rate case together, it was summer and fall of last year, 2024. We proposed this in December of 2024, and it was not made public at the Harwood Data Center. I think it was August maybe of this year when that was proposed in the media. So we had no knowledge of it whatsoever, and there's no direct correlation at all with this rate case. So very happy to clarify that as best as possible. If there are any other additional follow-up questions, we do our best to answer them today or in the future as well. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you. And maybe the wrong choice of words, misleading. It just leads public perception sometimes due to close proximity of the location of the data center being not in your service area, but being close. So thank you for that clarification. We're at some trying times. Everything seems to be going up, and electrical rates like such as this are asking for a rate increase. Can you tell us some things that you evaluated and you gave up? You've pulled in some purse strings and just said, we need to cut back in areas. Can you give us an example of things that Xcel has given up, but yet keeping good, reliable service?
And I think you hit the nail on the head with just sort of the last couple of words there. As a company, you're always trying to provide reliable and affordable electricity, and also safe as well. But there's a lot of push and pull that comes with that. You don't want to gold plate your system, but at the same time, you start ending up in the newspaper a lot if you end up with lots of outages for power lines being down, whether you're not doing vegetation management properly, whether you're not undergrounding lines that should be, replacing old poles, making the necessary investments to ensure that you do have a reliable system. There's always a lot of work that goes into that. I know just personally what I've seen, the measures that we've taken as a company to try to control O&M expenditures, I think that's really important. Obviously, we have some insurance has gone up. That's an O&M matter. But overall, company-wide, just any way possible to control that is one thing that's directly within our ability. But there's always that push and pull as far as trying to not cut the system short or not make necessary investments. But yeah, we're always trying to do the best that we can to make prudent investments in the system. I don't know if anybody on the line, if you wanted to add anything more, but that's at a high level what we're always trying to do.
Thank you. I'll now turn it over to Commissioner Randy Crispin for questions.
So, Alex, some of this is maybe something you want to address when we have our formal hearing, but maybe you know the answer already now. So, between our sessions today, I went over to the UAS conference, and some of the discussion revolved around attacks on the energy grid and such as that. And it really got me thinking about something that I actually give a lot of thought to, but a few years ago, there was an outage at one of the communities that you serve, and it took quite a while to get them back up. You had to bring some kind of portable equipment in from Minneapolis or somewhere like that, and it took a while. Since then, we hear more and more, not your company specifically, but just the industry in general, about things like transformers with longer and longer lead times with ordering. And many of these components are primarily sourced from foreign countries, and in many cases, they're adversarial countries. And so I'm wondering if any amount of the increase that you're seeking has to do with increasing your storage or of available components and equipment to deal with outages. And I know at this point, everyone wants to talk specifically about keeping the rates down, and the more inventory you carry, that has to be paid for. But our jurisdiction with the utilities is both about costs and reliability. And so I'm just wondering if any of this has to do with increasing your inventory, A, and B, when you talk with other similar companies, do you feel that you're carrying adequate inventory of those kinds of emergency supplies, as well as equipment that you transfer around while other equipment is coming in to fix problems permanently?
Very good question. Thank you, Commissioner Christman. Right off the bat, I do know that one of the drivers for the rate case, and it's contained within our distribution investments, is to reserve additional substation transformers. I know that we have some extras, but as you stated, if there might be a moment's notice where you need several of them, and given the fact that we're back in supply chain issues and trying to monitor any additional costs associated with the increasing costs associated with those, I do think that we're taking proactive steps on that. As far as additional information past those substation transformers, I'm not sure right off the top of my head, but one other thing, and you got a little bit into the security, cybersecurity. We had that annual update maybe a couple of months ago, and the supply chain issues, that's always something that we're looking at as far as trying to retain and build relationships with our friends as compared to our foes as far as where we're getting those infrastructure components from. So that's something that we're always working towards. I don't know if anybody else, Mary or anybody else on the line, had additional information about drivers with the rate case from holding any of these additional resources. But if we don't have anything on the line, we can definitely get back to you, and we for sure go into it in December as well. Thank you.
Okay, and that was my only thing for right now. I'll get a chance to ask plenty of questions during the actual hearings. So with that, I'll turn it back to you, Commissioner Haugenhofer, and whatever kind of rotation you want to do for the public input.
Okay. We will start here in Minot. So if somebody wants to speak, I'll ask you to come up to the podium as indicated and state your full name.
My name is Devin Mance. I'm a Minot resident here. Members of the Public Service Commission, I stand here to fully reject Xcel Energy's giant request for 19.34% rate hike here in North Dakota. This increase would be about $270 to the every average household annual bill. The slideshow that we just saw, you know, was talking about the monthly increases because it seems like it's not as much, but this is a big deal to working class people. So $270 for average household's annual bill. When everyone's grappling with these rising costs across the board, XL is an investor-owned utility. I think they reported about $1.9 billion in profit last year. With this tax rate here in North Dakota, they would make an additional $44.5 million from North Dakota customers. It's not a matter of survival for a struggling public utility. This is a brazen attempt to further enhance shareholder value on the backs of working people. We are not responsible for underwriting massive corporate profits. We have no obligation to finance XL's infrastructure projects like their nuclear plant updates in other states or the closure of coal plants. If those costs are simply to grow an already extremely healthy margin for their shareholders. The slideshow we just saw, they talked about electricity bills being reduced by 28% nationally. So they aren't making enough money. Yet profit has risen year after year. Utilities profit at the end of the year is overpayment by the people. The CEO of XL makes about $10 million in salary in just stocks. When the stock price raises, he gets an automatic raise. This is the core difference between a corporation driven by profit and a utility dedicated to its community. Look at our electric cooperatives here in North Dakota. They are nonprofit organizations owned by their members, and their primary motivation is to keep the costs of electricity as low as possible for those that they serve. They do not have executives prioritizing massive profits for outside investors. When profits are generated by the cooperative, they are either reinvested in the system for service improvements or returned to their members. That's why co-ops don't usually seek these healthy raises to their rates. Commissioners, you have the power to regulate this monopoly. Your duty is to the people of North Dakota, not to XL's investors. I urge you to reject this 19% rate hike and at the very least cap any possible increase to a minimal justifiable amount. The commission should seriously be investigating the underlying structure of or underlying structural issue with corporations being in utilities at all. All public utilities, especially those operating in monopolies, and this definitely is a monopoly, on essential services like electricity should be structured as cooperatives. The pursuit of profit through an essential public utility like electricity and gas that XL takes advantage of shouldn't even be part of the conversation. I ask that you begin to process the process of forcing XL Energy to transition to a customer-owned cooperative, ensuring that its mission is permanently aligned with low rates and the public good. Only a cooperative model guarantees that every dollar spent goes back to the system or the member, not into the pockets of distant executives. We need to protect North Dakota families and stand firm that electricity and gas are a public necessity, not a vehicle for corporate greed.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you for your comments, sir.
My name is Joan Hawbaker. I, too, live right here in Minot. First of all, I'd like to say that several years ago, the big, huge gray thing, is that the transformer? I'm not even sure. I don't remember. In my backyard, popped at 2 o'clock in the morning, woke all of us up in my neighborhood. But XL, you were there this following afternoon, even though it was, I believe, a Sunday, and you had it replaced and you had electricity on back on to us very quickly. So for that, I have to say thank you. But I also have to completely agree with Devin. What he said, and I don't remember who it was that said that it's often the utilities pay increases are often compared to salary increases, but it's a lot more complicated. It's a lot more complicated, maybe, but on the other hand, for those paying the bill, it's not. Because my salary, and now on Social Security, I get maybe 3% maximum. And there's a few people around who maybe get a little bit more than that. But when you consider that a lot of people don't even get the 3%, and yet you want to increase 19%, and yet supposedly no increase in the last 4 years. Well, 4 years times 3%, that's only 12%. And you want to increase it by over half again that much. For those people that are on living basically paycheck to paycheck or Social Security check to Social Security check, that doesn't work for them. And for the elderly who are trying to hang on to their homes and stay in their homes, and yet these increases, that just doesn't work. So increase, yes, as needed, but only as needed. And I don't think 19% is needed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Anybody else in Minot wish to speak? Seeing none, we'll go to Grand Forks.
No speakers here.
Okay, thank you. Fargo? Any speakers in Fargo?
I just want to totally agree with what Devin and Minot and the lady following had to say. And I wonder, I think a co-op is a great idea. I think Excel makes way too much money. And I wonder if the CEO would take a 19% cut in his pay. That's all I have to say.
Ma'am, can you, for the record, can you state your name?
I'm sorry. Jean Seifert.
Okay. Thank you, Jean.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anybody else there, Alex?
One gentleman coming up. Yes, I'm Christopher Cohen from Fargo, and what I'd like to say is that I would support the rate increases that are necessary for us to switch over from fossil fuel production to sustainable energy that creates lesser greenhouse gases. That's not cheap. And I think maybe 19% though is too high, I think. So far, myself, I've tolerated the 11.8% interim increase. I think I could go a little bit higher to 15%. But Bloomberg News came out with a report in August 27th that reported that 10% of Americans, two-thirds of Americans say they couldn't afford a 10% increase in energy costs. Now, our rates are much more here in North Dakota, so I think we can tolerate. You know, that's a, they could probably tolerate just under 10%. I think we could go up, maybe we could tolerate 14-15%. And my concern going forward, though, is the huge expansion of power production that may be desired in an attempt to meet the predicted needs of the data center energy plants. Unless these are powered by energy sources that produce less greenhouse gases, we risk greatly increasing already dire current climate change conditions, as well as huge price increases. Bloomberg News investigation published on September 29th found that wholesale electricity is up to 267% more expensive than it was 5 years ago in areas near U.S. data hubs. That's not sustainable for the average consumer. There's also the possibility of electricity shortages. So I understand that Xcel is not supplying a data center in North Dakota, but you do supply data centers in the other states that you're in. You're in 8 states, and there's going to be more data centers coming in, especially in North Dakota. There's going to be a lot more data centers coming in. So I requested that Xcel Energy be required to focus on customer protections when planning for these data centers, including a non-refundable upfront deposit, longer-term contracts, a minimum bill, minimum contract terms, security collateral requirements, and higher exit fees for any customer seeking 100 megawatts or more. Xcel Energy should not engage in large capacity increases for data centers that will disadvantage residential customers. For your comments. That's all the comments of Fargo. Thank you.
Okay, Victor, I'm going to turn it over to you to ask if anybody online has comments or anybody in Bismarck.
Okay. If you are dialed into the phone bridge and would like to make a comment, if you dial *9, it will raise your hand and we will see you and we'll take you off of mute so you can make your comment. Okay, we're not seeing anybody raise their hand. We want to make one last check through the rooms. Is there anybody in Minot who's changed their mind and would like to say something?
No.
Okay. Grand Forks.
I'm still not seeing anything here.
Okay. And one last call for Fargo.
We're good in Fargo. Thank you.
Okay, and still seeing no hands raised on the online. That is all. We can wrap up. Commissioners,
I would just like...
Go ahead.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Shook. Alex, you've heard from a lot of the public. Is there anything you would like to address? I'm going to give you an opportunity to address any of those comments if you would like.
I think just a few comments that I really appreciate everybody taking time out of their busy schedule to come here. I really do. It's important to have an engaged civic and to come discuss something that impacts all of us. And it's in the news and in the media for a lot of different reasons. So I really thank people coming here and asking good questions. And I hope you learned something. And if there's anything else, you can always reach back out to us with any questions that you do have. There were some additional questions during the noon session. Our plan, we jotted those down and we'll be providing formal responses to those. And I'll just leave it with, thank you very much, Vic. You put a lot of work into putting this together and the commissioners. It's a good idea to have this in all these communities. So local voices that we maybe don't hear of sometimes that couldn't make it to Bismarck are able to provide comments. So thank you very much for the commission staff, everybody and everybody in attendance for all your work and participation. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. I would just like to remind everyone that our formal hearing on this rate case is scheduled December 1st through the 5th, and it will be held in Bismarck in our hearing room. As Alex said, if anybody would like to submit additional comments, please feel free. I will be a part of the record. So with that, I'm going to thank everyone, Xcel, to working with our staff so we could be out into the communities. For those who are here, the public, we sincerely thank you. We appreciate your time and your comments. So I have no additional comments except to say thank you again, and I'll ask Randy Christman, Commissioner Crispin, if he has any closing comments.
I will say one thing, and it's, I guess, a question to our staff in Bismarck. Do we have very many people logged on? I just, in the last minutes, received a text from a friend who got a text from someone else, so this is very third hand, that they tried to log in and are unable. It doesn't even say whether they were trying to log into the noon session or this evening. But I'm just wondering if we can verify whether others had this problem or what.
So on our GoToMeeting here, we have 12 participants. We are two of those, and then the sites would be additionals. I would say at least half of the remaining participants are Xcel Energy employees, just kind of based on name recognition. On the website, Matt, do you know how many people we have viewing the site?
Looks like 20 right now are viewing the broadcast. And I will note we did get an additional caller into our phone bridge while we were doing closing comments, and somebody did raise their hand.
Okay.
Okay, let's listen.
Yep, let's take them off mute.
Okay, could you please identify yourself?
Thanks. My name's Darren Craven, and I'm from Grand Forks. I just want to let you know that I was watching on the website, and the interface is, like, locked, and I can't do anything, so that's why I called in so late.
Sure.
Go ahead.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
So basically, I just wanted to agree with the other folks' comments about, I'm all for Xcel making money, but $12 million for CEO pay seemed a little excessive. I don't make $12 million, and I'm pretty sure he wouldn't like the 20% cut if he were to have to take that. I understand they're decommissioning a coal plant. I absolutely want us to be clean, but if decommissioning a coal plant is the cause of this rate, we need to hold on to that coal plant for a couple more years. How much energy are you buying on the open market currently? Are you generating all your own energy, or are you buying that stuff on the open market and competing with all these data centers and crypto miners? And I also want to reiterate the 20% is hard. I'm on a fixed income myself as well. And $200 don't seem like a lot to a lot of people, but it's going to be tight when you start adding all the other expenses. And then on the other side of the coin, I want to say thank you very much. I've been on the Xcel customer for over 50 years. I think the two blackouts we had were fixed within an hour, maybe two. So thank you for that. And then also, if your estimates of our rates compared to the other utilities is accurate, that's amazing. Thank you. Keep that up. And leverage what you can to keep those rates that way and make North Dakota more attractive so we can bring in some of these people that we're losing. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you, Devin.
Thank you very much for the comments.
I don't know if you are able, prepared to answer all of Devin's questions, Alex.
I think one big question that was in there was as far as whether or not we're purchasing power on the wholesale market. I know just at a high level standpoint, from a resource planning perspective, we're involved, we're in the MISO grid. I think Xcel Energy constitutes about 50% of zone one. And when we're looking at resource planning, we build to fulfill our needs plus planning resource margin as well. Would be one answer that I provided there. The rest of them, I think there were some comments, but if there is a question there that I, on top of that, that I missed, we could definitely, I have several people online jotting things down, and we could provide them a formal response after this as well.
Okay. Do we have any other raised hands there, Matt?
Not seeing any.
Okay.
Feel free to wrap it up, Victor, okay, from there.
Sure. So with that, I don't think we have any other public commenters, but as has been said by a number of other parties so far, folks are welcome to submit comments either by phone, by email. We do accept regular mail still. You can find how to contact us from our website. Any of those methods is perfectly acceptable. And there's not really technically an end date to when you can submit those comments. Obviously, the sooner you can get those concerns to us, the more we can ensure that they are covered as part of this proceeding. But there is technically no end date. You can submit them up to and beyond the actual hearing date, which was referenced as to begin on December 1st. And at some point thereafter, the commission would make a decision on the full case. So thanks, everyone, for the participation. And this public input session is closed.